Everyone, I call the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order for the record. It is 2:04 PM. I apologize to my committee members. Senator Costello is on the line with us. Senator Gray Jackson, Vice Chair, Senator Stevens, Senator Rivack. Senator Costello, can you see us?
Actually, I'm just calling in with audio, Senator Bishop.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm holding your name tag up to the camera so everybody in the state knows that you're here in spirit and online.
Thank you.
All right. We're running 30 minutes late. I apologize to the committee members. We were introducing another bill in the Finance Committee. So with that being said, we do have a quorum to do business. I'd like to recognize Kari. Good morning, afternoon, ma'am, and Mr. Mello, Mr. Grusendorf, four confirmation hearings today, and then Senate Bill first hearing 215. For on the confirmations, I believe we have, it appears we've got three or four of them up here already in the queue. So for those appointees that are online and are listening, I'm going to go through the instructions. And when we call your name, just you can go in and start hitting your beats, and then we'll stop and ask for questions. So protocol is your give your name and affiliation on the record, a brief comment and introduction to the committee, who you are, why you want to serve, and we could have questions. And after we finish the confirmations for the day, the committee would then advance your names and to a joint session where you will be voted on for confirmation. Today's actions do not recommend, are not a recommendation for a yes or no vote. That is for the joint session. First up, we have the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives, and we have Bethel up. And Bethel, if you could, if you're hearing us, if you could go ahead and put yourself on the record and pronounce your last name, because I didn't want to butcher it, and I'll let you educate the chair on your last name.
My last name is Belle Isle.
Thank you. Floor is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Bethel Belle Isle. I am a certified direct entry midwife as well as a certified professional midwife. I own and operate a birth center in Anchorage and also have a home birth practice. I'm asking for confirmation to the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives and believe that my over 20 years of experience will help the board to continue to meet the health and safety needs of pregnant women and to further excellence in midwifery in Alaska.
All right. Well, thank you for that introduction, and thank you for stepping up to the plate to serve the people of Alaska. Questions?
You're welcome.
Questions from committee members? Seeing none, thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay, next we're going to go to the Marijuana Control Board. And let me see here. We're going to go to Christopher Jamie, public, and this is the public safety seat, and this is a reappointment. Jaime. And Christopher, could you please put yourself on the record and proceed?
Yes, sir. My name is Christopher Jaime. I'm from Saldana. I've been appointed by the governor for the public safety seat, as you mentioned, for the Marijuana Control Board. You know, I'd like to thank the committee members for taking the time to allow me to address the board. I've lived in Alaska for 27 years and been a state trooper for the past 19. During my career, I've had the opportunity to work in several communities throughout the state and forge professional relationships in all of them. This is the second time I've been appointed by the governor for this board. I've learned a lot during my time and will continue to balance public safety with the vision the governor has relayed about promoting entrepreneurship and cutting red tape for businesses for Alaska. I've not received any direction or instruction from the governor's office or any members of the staff. So, thank you for the consideration.
And thank you. Questions from committee members? Senator Rivack, excuse me, sir.
It looks like, Christopher, you have military experience. I just want to thank you for your service with the Army, in the Army.
Oh, well, thank you very much, sir.
All right. Seeing no questions from committee members, thank you, Mr. Jaime, and have a great day, and we'll talk to you later.
Sounds good, sir. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right. Next one up for the Marijuana Control Board is Bruce Schulte, public industry seat, and this is a new appointment. Bruce, can you hear us?
I can.
All right. And you heard the instructions?
I did.
All right. The floor is yours, sir.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bruce Schulte, last name S-C-H-U-L-T-E, calling in from Anchorage today. And this would be my second appointment to this board. I served on the original board back in 2015 into 2016. The seat that I was appointed to is one that was defined either for a member of the industry of an advocacy group or just a general member of the public. And I suppose I fall into at least two of those categories. I was a spokesman for ballot measure 2 back in 2014. I served on a number of nonprofit industry advocacy groups, and then, as I mentioned, for about a year on the original Marijuana Control Board. So I was very involved with the development of the initial regulations and quite familiar with those regs and the process. And, of course, I've followed it quite closely since. And I don't have any financial interest in the industry at this point and no plans to do so at the moment, but I am still very engaged and very interested in seeing this public policy seen through and to see this industry successful. I guess that's all I have by way of introduction.
All right. Well, thank you. Any questions from committee members? I see you do have some nice letters of support in your package, and I recognize some of these names, so that's a good thing. All right. See, no questions. We're going to go on to the last one for the Marijuana Control Board. And I believe that's Casey. Are you there?
Yes, Casey DeShock. DeShock.
DeShock. DeShock. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm calling from Dillingham today. I believe appointed to the rural seat for the Marijuana Control Board. When I came up to Alaska, I came up with the Army, served in the 501st through 2015. Moved into the oil industry for a couple of years, and then over to community and regional affairs, where I worked with rural communities, particularly with Title 29, Title 4. So that gave me some insight into the challenges of rural communities, what they face. And I think I'm relatively engaged in policy and interested in developing regulations for the industry.
All right, thank you. Questions from committee members? Senator Costello, I apologize. Did you have any questions for the appointee today? All right, and I'd like to also thank you for your service to the United States military.
Thank you.
Okay, seeing no further questions, we're done with appointments, and we're going to take a brief at ease here in a moment, but in accordance with AS 3905080, the Labor and Commerce Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives, Bethel
Belial.
Marijuana Control Board, Christopher Hamey, Bruce Schulte, and Casey DeShock. All right, man, I got through that. This does not reflect an intent by anyone to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the package. We're back on the record. Next up is Senate Bill 215, the ABLE Act update. This will be the first hearing of this bill. Brief at ease. Back on the record. I got to write Claire in there. I was going to call you Senator Giesel, even though we just went through this. It's a long day. Claire and Emma Jackson. Emmy. We have noticed public testimony for today. So I'm going to draw a line through this in the script. So whichever one of you wants to present this bill, put your name on the record. Both of you should put your name on the record. And if you're going to tag team this, because they're both female voices, if you just identify your name for our record keeper so they can differentiate, please. And the floor is yours.
All right. Good afternoon, committee members. For the record, Emmy Jackson, staff to Senator Kathy Geisel.
Claire Baldwin, intern to Senator Kathy Geisel. And we have a short presentation for you to go over the bill, and then we have a sectional to present.
Okay.
So we are presenting SB 215, which is the ABLE update bill. And so an ABLE account, ABLE stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience. These accounts provide tax-free savings accounts for individuals with qualifying disabilities. This includes physical, mental disabilities, and blindness. So funds in these accounts can be used to pay for disability expenses such as housing, education, and transportation, because as we all know, living with a disability is extremely expensive. And so these accounts provide individuals with disabilities to be able to save money that doesn't count against their qualifying for Medicaid, FAFSA, or Social Security, or needs-based income. And that level is at $2,000 in savings. So this allows individuals with disabilities to save upwards of that level in accounts specific for disability expenses. And disability expenses is very broad. As I said, it can be any of these expenses, but it's very broad. It encompasses many things because disabilities are wide-ranging. So now that we know what ABLE account is, I'm going to briefly go over the history of ABLE. So ABLE Act was passed in 2013, and in July 2016, the Alaska ABLE Bill was passed in effort by Senator Geisel and Representative Sadler. Both Representative and Senator worked closely with UAF to understand 529 accounts, and also with the Department of Revenue to set up the accounts. In conjunction with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, which provided funding for FY17 and FY18, they were able to get startup funding, which also provided money for marketing and outreach to get individuals started with these accounts. After these first 2 years, the Department of Revenue decided to join the National ABLE Alliance, which is a group of 17 states, and this allowed them to no longer seek access to future funding. The program would be sustained through account owner fees. Being in the alliance commands more negotiation power for these 17 states and provides access to account owners with the alliance's diverse team of staff and lawyers that have specific knowledge of financial planning, college savings programs, and health and social services. In Alaska, ABLE programming and research is conducted by the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. They oversee the program. They make presentations at conferences and job fairs, present handouts, posters, postcard mailers, and social media to promote the ABLE accounts. They are also in constant contact with the Division of Seniors and Disability Services and in contact with public assistance programs to constantly be getting more people in accounts. They also worked with the Alaska Disability Benefits 101 to link the Alaska ABLE website and other state websites together to provide greater access to those that would like accounts. So since 2013, there have been a couple of updates to ABLE accounts. The first was the ABLE to Work Act, which was signed into law in 2017. It increased annual contribution levels for those disabled people who seek employment. This was to encourage them to find employment. So currently, contribution levels annually are limited to $15,000. But for those that are employed, they can seek a contribution level up to $27,060 per year. The next update was the ABLE Financial Planning Act, also of 2017, and this allowed 529 accounts or college savings account funds to be rolled over into ABLE accounts. And this was because many times when a child is born, parents will set up a 529 account, but sometime later in life, that child incurs a disability that prevents them from going to college. So this now allows those savings to be rolled over into an ABLE account so that the family can still use those savings, but now for specific disability funds. Currently, there is legislation for the ABLE Age Adjustment Act. This has not been passed yet. This is proposed. As it stands, any individual who incurs a disability under the age of 26 can open an ABLE account. So even if you are over 26, but you had that disability incurred before age 26, you can open an account. The ABLE Age Adjustment Act would increase the age of ability to open an account to 46, and this would allow greater participation with an ABLE account. SB 215 has a couple of proposed updates. The first is that it reassigns department responsibility from the Department of Revenue to the Department of Health and Social Services. It also expands the age eligibility limits by matching the federal guidelines. So if the age eligibility bill passes, Alaska will automatically be rolled into having the 46 age limit. There are a lot of federal matching language in this bill so that from now on, Alaska will automatically change with whatever the federal level has instead of having to wait, such as when the Able to Work Act was passed or the Able Financial Act was passed. Now, any future act that is passed, Alaska will automatically match the federal.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just make sure I understand, the age of 46 is, that's eligibility, but they can keep those accounts beyond 46. Is that true?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, that's correct.
Thank you.
And then the proposed change will, again, allow 529 accounts to be rolled into ABLE accounts, and then just aligning with federal guidelines. And so that concludes our presentation. We will now move on to a sectional analysis.
For the record, Emmy Jackson, I am happy to run through the sectional, Chair Bishop, but for the sake of time, it's up to you if you'd like me to go through the sectional. I'd be happy to do an abbreviated version of the sections that kind of have the most change, but happy to do the whole thing too.
Hit for the lateness of the hour and where we're at in the day and other meetings that I've got to have here, and I know other committee members, and could you just hit the bulleted pieces of the bill through the sectional?
Yes.
And I do believe we have three people. Well, we got six people online, but I think three that want to testify and the rest are for questions. So we're not going to get real deep into this today.
Yeah, happy to do that. So for the sectional, Section 1 directs the Department of Health and Social Services to consult with the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education when overseeing the Alaska Savings Program. Section 2 expands the age of eligibility for a program account from 26 to match that in the federal authorizing law. Jumping down to Section 7, replaces higher education with education when referring to an education savings account. And this reflects changes made by the UA College Savings, and this is reflected later on in the sectional as well in a number of sections. So Section 8 replaces post-secondary education with education when referring to an education savings account and renames the Alaska Higher Education Savings Trust to the Education Trust of Alaska. Again, that's something that's stated in a number of sections. Jumping to Section 10, that allows a participant in of an account to change the beneficiary of their account to any individual, not just a family member. It allows participants to transfer all or a portion of their account as a contribution to another account if it does not exceed federal limits when added to any other contributions and is for the beneficiary of that new account or for a family member who is an eligible individual as well. Jumping to Section 12, that removes the restriction that when a beneficiary designates a successor participant to their account, the change cannot take effect until after the death or mental incapacity of the beneficiary. And then Sections 13 really through Section 25 are all just changing language to update language.
Thank you. So. We're going to take a brief of these.
Call you back to order, please. Chairman has another meeting has to attend to. Could you sort of help me understand Has this been successful so far? How many people are involved in it? How many accounts do we have in the state of Alaska?
Claire Baldwin, intern for Senator Giesel. Mr. Chair, there are currently 365 account owners, with more every year. And it's a very successful program. Believe there's, I'll have to double check or have someone online answer your question about like maybe how much money is in accounts, but it's a very successful program.
Well, thanks. I don't need to know
okay.
How many people. Well, 365, that's great to hear. Emmy, please continue.
Emmy Jackson, staff to Senator Giesel. And actually, that's kind of the end of our sectional, our abbreviated sectional. So if you have any other questions, though, be happy to answer
those.
Thank
you very much for that presentation. Questions from the committee? Thank you. I appreciate your introducing this. We'll move on to our invited testimony. I believe we have Stuart Spielman. Stuart is the Senior Vice President Advocacy Office and speaks. Mr. Spielman, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, you're from Washington, D.C. Pleasure to have you with us. If you'd identify yourself for the record and give us your presentation.
Of course. I'm Stuart Spielman. I'm Senior Vice President for Autism Speaks. We are the nation's largest autism science and advocacy group, and we have been a long-standing proponent of ABLE accounts. ABLE accounts have been in existence since 2016, actually, as Ms. Baldwin noted, when the first ABLE program began. And since then, they've grown rapidly. So since 2016, which is the first ABLE program began in June of 2016, and since then, there have been 56,632 accounts established with $354.8 million. Those are the total assets in under management as of the end of 2019. So this is a program that started literally at zero, and 4 years later is exceeding one-third of $1 billion in total assets in management. So these accounts are very important to people with disabilities, and they establish an equity that did not exist before. And while I can speak on behalf of my organization, I can also give a personal example. I'm a parent of a child. I'm a parent of two children. One of my children has autism. And for my child with autism, when my child was growing up, before ABLE accounts were established, we would discourage people from making contributions or giving financial gifts to him because we were concerned that at some point in time he would be reliant on benefits, and we didn't want to jeopardize those benefits. What ABLE accounts do, among other things, is allow individuals with disabilities to save for a future without fear of losing essential benefits like Medicaid. So ABLE has been a remarkable success. It has been embraced by the disability community. It is it was a program that was enacted with overwhelming support several years ago when the legislation passed and continues to have broad support in the disability community. So Autism Speaks is very supportive and appreciative of efforts to enhance ABLE accounts, to enhance these programs, and to make them conform to federal legislation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Spielman. Can you talk to us about successors? How does that work? And those can that account go to anybody? And are those there's a limit to how those funds can be used if they go to a successor?
Well, there are provisions in the law concerning rollovers, and the way the money can be used is rather broad. You know, so an ABLE account can be used purchase a speech-enhancing device for a person with autism, as an example. It can be used to enable a person with autism who is at a job site to get supports, to get a job coach, so that that person has success. And of course, these accounts, while available to people with autism, are available to people with other disabilities as well.
Well, thank you. What I was getting at is, say someone has an account and they pass away, and that gets to be, what happens with that fund at that time?
So the statute provides for rollovers to other individuals with disabilities. There is a possibility that that money could go into the individual's estate. There are a number of possibilities. It depends on what money is available at the time the person passes.
I see. So it could go to somebody else with a disability. That's good to hear.
Right.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Beal, and I certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk with us here all the way from D.C. Thanks very much.
Of course.
The next up is Santa Eford. Santa was at the Department of Education for a good many years, and always great to deal with her there. Santa, are you with us?
Good afternoon. Senator Stevens, yes, Santa Eford. I'm currently now the Assistant Commissioner for the Department of Health and Social Services.
I know. Congratulations on that. But we miss you at education.
Well, I miss being there too, but I love, of course, being part of Health and Social Services. I am standing on the line or waiting on the line to be available for any questions the committee may have. Since the first section of this bill actually is directing now this to be under the Department of Health and Social Services, since we also have the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education as part of our department.
I see, Santa. So prior to this, it was under the Department of Education. Is that correct?
Chair or Vice Chair Stevens, no. It was being... It was actually under the Department of Revenue when it was originally passed. The bill identified revenue because they took the lead to actually do the analysis and set up the financial side of how those accounts were going to be managed.
Well, thank you. So it was under revenue. It's now being proposed being under HES. Are you prepared to accept that responsibility at the department?
Vice Chair Stevens, again for the record, Santa Eford. Yes, we are. I have been in consultation with the Department of Revenue, and since they actually have everything already set up, it is currently we as a state, the state of Alaska, are part of the National ABLE Alliance with that consists of 17 states, and the Ascensus College Savings Services actually manage the accounts, and those services are sustained through the account owner fees. We are capable of continuing that relationship with the alliance.
Thank you so much, Santa. Any questions of Santa Eford? Again, thank you so much. Good to hear from you again. We'll move on to Kristen Vandegrift. Kristen, would you put yourself on the record, please?
Hello, yes, I'm Kristen Vandegrift. I'm the Executive Director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. We're just going to note that in regards to questions also on the line for the council, we have Ann Applegate, which is the planner for the council, and Art DeLon, who is the council's legislative committee chair and also a member of the council's executive committee. The council commends Senator Giesel for her work to align the state statutes that govern ABLE account programs with positive changes in the federal authorizing the federal law authorizing them. ABLE accounts are a valuable tool for Alaskans with disabilities because they realize the higher cost of living with a disability and allow greater self-sufficiency and savings for qualified disability expenses without jeopardizing vital public benefits such as Social Security and Medicaid. Many of the amendments to Chapter 65 found in SB 215 will improve the flexibility of the savings plans, including allowing the rollover of College 529 savings accounts into an ABLE account. The council greatly appreciates Senator Giesel's focus on this legislation and efforts to ensure that this important option is available for Alaskans with disabilities. The council is committed to using its statewide reach and expertise as the designated Developmental Disabilities Council to improve access to ABLE accounts and increase awareness and enrollment by eligible Alaskans. The council is ready and willing to provide the lead department with disability-related consultation and support for the ABLE account program objectives through advocacy and advice on disability-related issues, outreach and training, promotion and marketing, and reports to the legislature on disability-related data and stakeholder input. It's our understanding that should this bill pass and the lead department change from Department of Revenue to Department of Health and Social Services, that the DHSS Finance and Management Services Division will oversee all the financial management and investment aspects of administering the Alaska ABLE program. The Council's Executive Committee put forth a letter with more details on this to Senator Giesel's office, which I believe everybody has as well. And I thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you very much, Kristen. So you support this transfer from revenue to HESS?
So this is Kristen Vandergriff for the...
Yes, Kristen.
And as it does appear that DHSS Finance and Management Services Division overseeing the finance management investment components and the council being able to oversee the outreach and marketing, that piece would be a positive and seen well by our executive committee.
Well, thank you very much, Kristen. We also have Ann Applegate and Art Delane. All three of these folks are from the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. Ann and Art are here for questions. Any questions of anybody on that? Okay, I see none. Thank you very much for your testimony. So we'll go on to Pamela Leary, and she's here on for questions as well, the State Investment Office, Department of Revenue, Treasury Division. Pam, maybe it would be good for you to at least talk to us a little bit about how you are going to be dealing with this. Pam Leary?
Hi, this is Pam Leary. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. My name is Pam Leary. I am the Director of the Treasury Division, the Department of Revenue, and I have been part of the National Alliance of States that are now 17 strong in developing and procuring a vendor for the ABLE program, and it has grown quite quickly. My last count, just for the record, we have 414 funded accounts, and there are $2.4 million in those accounts as of March 15th. I am very supportive of the transfer from the Department of Revenue to Health and Social Services. I feel like this program is much better served with having direct contact through the council to the constituents that will receive the direct benefit. And although I've really enjoyed being part of the alliance and the camaraderie there, it is a terrific group of states that have done so much for this community. I think the program would best be served moving to Health and Social Services. And I'm available to answer any questions.
Well, thank you very much, Pam. I appreciate your comments. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you for your thoughtful comments. We'll move on then to Tammy Weaver. Tammy is here to make a presentation as well. Chief Treasury Officer from the University of Alaska. How is the University of Alaska involved in this, Ms. Weaver?
Hi. Yes, this is Tammy Weaver. The University of Alaska is involved because the university serves as trustee for the Education Trust of Alaska, which administers Alaska's 529 programs. The 529 programs are presented in this bill as well because of, first of all, because of name changes, but also because of legislation that changes and now allows rollovers from 529 plans to ABLE accounts, as was discussed earlier.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Weaver. I see no questions. Thank you for your testimony. Thank everyone for the invited testimony they've delivered to us. We'll now open this to any public testimony. Does anyone care to speak to us? You can stay where you are. I don't think there's anyone in the room. Just we locked the doors. It's only us, right? Anyone online? Nobody online to speak to us? Very well. We'll close public testimony. Any final questions from the committee? Very well. A wrap-up on the part of the sponsor. thank you. It's been very interesting. We're going to set Senate Bill 215 aside for further considerations. And at this time, we'll conclude our meeting. Thank you all for being here.